There are a few phrases that rabbis hear all the time that rabbis don't like to hear. Phrases like, you know, Rabbi, I used to keep kosher. Or, I used to belong to Sinai Temple. Or the one I'm going to talk about this morning, you know, Rabbi, I'm spiritual, but I'm not religious. I want to say something about being spiritual, but not being religious. Because I'm sure that all of you have heard the same phrase from people. I'm spiritual, I'm very spiritual, I'm not religious. And I want to begin by talking about what spiritual is. First of all, it is interesting to note that there is no word in Hebrew for spiritual until very recent times. Biblical Hebrew, Talmudic Hebrew, medieval Hebrew felt no need of a word for spiritual. In modern Hebrew, it's ruchaniyut, from ruach, from spirit or breath. But it's a recent invention because in some ways it's a recent idea in Judaism, as I will explain. Spiritual has to do with how you feel, with what goes on inside of you. And while nobody would want to minimize the importance of what goes on inside of you, there is a problem with being spiritual but not being religious. The problem is that religion presupposes your membership and participation in a group. Spiritual assumes that whatever you feel, if you feel it to be elevated, is legitimate, is okay, and is sufficient. Now, I understand the desire not to belong to groups. And this, by the way, is a pattern in America and not just in religions. Do you know now, at least according to what I saw a day or two ago, that the number of independents in politics are about the same as the number of Democrats and Republicans? Because people look at political parties and they say, that political party doesn't represent exactly what I feel. And therefore, I will absent myself from the party. And when someone comes along whom I like, I'll vote for them. So the trend to be an independent agent and not part of the group is a societal trend. And by the way, I think, in some ways, not a very Jewish trend. Because Judaism is a collective religion. If you read the Bible, most of the rewards and punishment are corporate. They're addressed to the people, not to the individual. Because the assumption is that whatever happens to one person happens to the society. And therefore, to be spiritual but not religious is to remove yourself from what everybody else is participating in. Remember the words of Hillel. Hillel begins by saying, "Im ein ani li mili," if I am not for myself, who will be for me? But the second part of that phrase is, "Uchshani rak la'atzmi ma'ani." But when I am only for myself, what am I? Notice that when you're only for yourself, that's such for Hillel a terrible thing that he can't even give it a name. He says, someone who's only for themselves, what is such a person? And yet, spirituality, to say that I am spiritual but not religious, is an immediate removal from the community. Someone who is spiritual but not religious doesn't join committees. Someone who's spiritual but not religious doesn't have to give tzedakah. Someone who's spiritual but not religious doesn't have to do the mitzvot, they just have to feel a certain way. And that reality, which takes hold more and more in America and even among Jews, is a fragmentation of our community and also is a misunderstanding of the way the world works. Everything we do affects the people around us. There is no such thing as a human being whose actions and beliefs don't somehow ripple out into the worlds of other people in dramatic and terrible ways, as this week we witnessed on the campus of Virginia Tech, and in subtle and sometimes almost unnoticed ways, as everybody who leaves an empty seat in a sanctuary or in a committee, as though absence is not also a statement. But of course it is. It is. Now, it isn't true that in Judaism we're not supposed to feel certain things. Bachya ibn Pekuda, one of the great sages of the Middle Ages, wrote a book called Chovot HaLevavot, which means obligations of the heart, in which he talks about how one should feel in the process of observing mitzvot. That, for example, when you pray, you're supposed to feel something. That when you help someone else, you're supposed to feel something. That when you put on tefillin in the morning, or when you wrap yourself in the tallit, or when you bless the Shabbos candles, or when you cut the challah, you're supposed to feel something. And because, says Bachya, too often we're focused only on what you're supposed to do, I'm going to write this book to explain how you're supposed to feel. But Bachya wouldn't have to write that book today. Because, partly under the influence of Protestant Christianity, which is very focused on emotion and less focused on obligation, and partly because we are able, through all the conveniences of the modern world, to separate ourselves and isolate ourselves, what one social theorist calls cocooning. You can stay in your apartment or in your home, watch TV, get on the computer, order food, and virtually never see another human being. Because of all of that, we have forgotten that, in fact, the measure of one's life is what you do, not what you feel. It's not enough to say, I feel that I love you, if you don't act lovingly. And in some ways, to say I'm spiritual but not religious is a way of saying I'm loving but I'm not kind. I feel things, but I don't have to do things. And everyone knows that somebody who says, I love you, and treats you cruelly, has no idea what it is to love. That real love is an action, not just an emotion. That real love gets played out into the world. V'ahavta l'reyecha kamocha, we learn in Vayikra, in the book we are reading this morning. And that means, according to all of our commentators, that phrase, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, according to all the commentators, that you must act lovingly towards your neighbor, not that you just have to feel something. That's the Jewish way. It is a way of action, in the hope that emotion will follow, but whether emotion follows or not, you still got to act. That's why tzedakah is not charity. Charity is an impulse that you feel inside, I want to help this person, so I'll give. Tzedakah is a mitzvah. It's a commandment. Everybody must give tzedakah. It's an obligation, because even if you don't feel it, that person has got to eat. Maybe you don't feel like feeding them, but it's more important that they eat than that you feel good. The action overrides the emotion. I bring this up this morning because on April 29th, on Sunday, we have what we call Big Sunday, what used to be called Mitzvah Day, but the point is, at Chernock Elementary School, which is on Palms and Sepulveda, we're going to go and help them restore their school and bring our children and our grandchildren in this gigantic project to do something that will allow us to feel something. Anybody who has ever gone out of their way to do a mitzvah, to do something that you didn't really want to do but you know is good, recognizes that after you do it, the feeling is there. that after you do it, when someone says, are you glad you did it? Invariably you're glad, even though God knows you didn't want to do it beforehand. That has nothing to do with how spiritual you are, except that it has everything to do with how your spirit gets acted out into the world. I always want to ask someone who tells me they're spiritual but not religious how much they give to tzedakah. I don't, usually, but I always want to. Because I know that spirituality doesn't count for anything unless it counts in the life of someone other than the person who says, I'm spiritual. You have to worry about other people to be spiritual. When I graduated from rabbinical school, the first book I wrote was about God's presence in the Jewish tradition. Because I felt as though people didn't talk enough about God and about spirit. And it seemed to me that that was important to re-inject in the Jewish conversation, and I still think it is. Our relationship with God is central to who we are, but our relationship to God has to show itself in our relationship to other human beings, or it's nothing. Ushani rak la'atzmi ma'ani. If I only care about my own religious life, what am I? That's the reason that Judaism invariably, in every city, in every town where it finds itself, sets up institutions, synagogues, federations, food banks, because we know that you can't just be spiritual, that you got to be religious. So I suppose what I want to counsel against is the narcissism of non-involvement, is the involvement only with yourself, is the idea that what goes on inside of me determines my religious life. That's the opposite of the idea of mitzvah. Mitzvah is what I express in the world shows you my religious life. And sometimes, by the way, what you express in the world is not what you feel. It's not. Sometimes when you don't feel like helping, you still help. Who among us who has children haven't been kind to their children at times when what they really wanted to do was be less than kind? Is that hypocrisy? No. That's religion. It's being good in spite of how you feel, not always because of how you feel. Now, it doesn't work all the time. We're all human. Nobody is a perfect person and will not sometimes be angry or annoyed or short or unkind. But still, we should know as individuals and as a community that in our tradition, we are not judged by what we feel, important though that is. We're judged by what we do. And that's why, when we say that our mission is l'taken olam b'malchut Shaddai, to repair the world under God's kingdom, that the repair of the soul is part of the repair of the world, and that what we do outside of ourselves is reflective of how we fix the inside of ourselves. So I hope that we'll see you on April 29th to do a mitzvah, and that whether we see you or not, that you'll do lots of mitzvahs, both before April 29th and after, so that when Hillel asks the question, if I am only for myself, what am I? You can say that you understand that Hillel didn't finish with that question, but ask the third question, v'im lo achshav ematai, if not now, when? Shabbat shalom.